From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Praise God, all people. Praise the Lord, all creation. Whales doing backflips in the air, squid and octopi dancing on the ocean floor, giant redwoods stretching to the sky, tomato vines cuddling around a steak, mountains blocking the sunrise, moles tunneling through our front lawns, five-year-olds sitting in a storytime circle, grandparents singing their song, redbuds decorating our backyard, grass growing faster than our children, seals getting a suntan on the rocks, teenagers knotted together at church. Praise the Lord, all creation. Praise God, all people. Gracious God, we thank you today for the opportunity to come into this place, this safe place, this holy place, this place of love, to unburden our hearts. We ask that you would smile upon us today, O God, and give us grace. Give us exactly what we need to continue to let our light shine for you. And now we pray the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our opening hymn is number 285, Come Ye Thankful People Come.
Thank you.
We show others who we are by the lives that we lead, the words we speak, and the actions we undertake. Let us confess how we have not been God's little children when we fail to love as we have been loved. Who are we to get in your way, holy God? We put people into neat little boxes, but you rip them open so folks can dance in your joy. We imprison others with our unmet expectations, and you set them free with a word. We build walls around those we don't know, and you tear them down so they can run wild in the kingdom. Who are we to get in your way, saving power, especially in the way of your forgiveness offered to all? Give us your vision that sees everyone as equal, forgiven, graced, loved, even as we seek to follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear the good news today. Whoever is in Christ Jesus is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. You are forgiven by God's grace. Thanks be to God. O Lord, open our lips.
Anthem this morning is entitled A Playful Interlude on Jesus Loves Me, performed by the Good Vibrations Handbell Choir under the direction of Mr. Phil Lewis. Mr. Alan Chambers leads the congregation in the prayer for illumination.
God, help us not to shrink back, but to step up. May we stick our necks in hope we may live in truth of your word. Amen. The New Testament lesson this morning comes from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Also he said, Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the fountain of the water of life without payment. Here ends the New Testament lesson.
Let us stand for the reading of the Gospel. Today's reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 13, beginning at verse 31. When he was gone, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This is good news from the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Listen now to this message from the Reverend Andrew Lovins entitled, We End at the Beginning.
It's been a few years now, but I was watching on the 10th anniversary of the collapse of the Twin Towers in New York City. I was watching the re-airing of a memorial service for Pat Tillman. You've probably heard his name before because he played for the Arizona Cardinals in the National Football League. And he gave up a very lucrative contract in order to leave the Cardinals to go fight the war in Afghanistan. And while he was in Afghanistan, he lost his life, killed by friendly fire. Well, after this happened, of course, there was a memorial service, and the governor was there, and other powerful people, military brass, and one by one, they would all stand up, and they would say marvelous things about Pat Tillman, about how terrific of a person he was. And of course, there was beautiful music, just an extraordinary ceremony, really. But after all was said and done, then Pat's brother stood up. And he got up before the crowd and he thanked everyone for being there, for the words that were spoken, for the sentiments that were expressed. And then he says, But that is not what Pat believed. Pat is not looking down on us from above. Pat didn't believe in any of that foolishness. And Pat isn't coming back. And it hurts. And of course, he threw some expletives in there that I would not care to share in church. And I would like to be able to say to you today that that's an unusual occurrence for someone to stand up and express something like that. But in fact, I have found that that is becoming more and more common in my work. People who are not affiliated with any church or who have no religious belief or spiritual core is becoming more prevalent. And the sad truth of that is when you don't have the skills or the resources to cope with loss, the loss that will inevitably come to us all, you truly are left without hope. You are crushed. Thankfully, my parents passed along their faith to me when I was young. And they taught me how to cope, how to believe, how to hope against hope. This week, as I said, my father passed away. And the truth is, my father can't be replaced in my life. I loved my dad. We had a very affectionate relationship. But more importantly than my love for my dad, I'd have to say that I respected him. He was a very inspiring person in my life. I can recall that there was a time in my life when I went through a season where I just didn't even want to get up out of bed in the morning. Just didn't want to function or do anything or work. And the only reason why I got up out of bed through that whole period of time was because I would remember my dad. And I would think, you know, if a 78-year-old man can get up every day at the crack of dawn and go out and mow the lawn and do all of this stuff and help people and then go to church and work some more and just keep firing away, keep going on, then I can get up too and I can go on as well. But now he's gone and I don't have the presence of his inspiration in my life anymore. So I ask the question, what are my options? How do I proceed now? When we lose someone, how do we move on? How do we proceed? How do we go forward? I think that there are a few options. We can be dismissive. And a lot of people are that way. Just don't think about it. Put it out of your head. Don't think about the end. Don't think about death. Just put it out of your mind. In fact, there was a comedian who once said this, "Dying is a very dull, dreary affair. My advice to you is to have nothing to do with it." Another comedian said, "I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens." But the fact is, we will be there. We will face loss. So you can be dismissive, but I don't think that that is very helpful. Or you can take a humanistic approach. You can say, well, we don't really know what's going to happen. We don't really know what's beyond this threshold. So what we can do is live life to the full now. We can go for the gusto when we can make this earth a heaven on earth. We can make this world a beautiful world. And there's something to that. In fact, Woodrow Wilson, his motivation for getting the U.S. into the First World War was, "This will be the war to end all wars," he says. This is going to be it. And then after the war, he even puts together a League of Nations to secure an international peace. But you know the rest of the story. 20 years later, the Second World War comes along. So a humanistic approach, the idea of we're going to save the world without God, that's not a way forward either. No, we need hope. And we need more than just a flimsy little hope, a little pie in the sky. We need a realistic hope. And we find that in the Scriptures. Christ will return personally, visibly. A new day will dawn. The old order of things will be reversed. Death will be defeated. Christ will wipe away every tear from our eyes. You don't have to be dismissive or humanistic because there is hope. And what I want you to notice about the lessons that we're looking at today is that Christianity at its essence is about God coming to us, not about us going to God. A lot of times when we talk about the end, we have this image in our mind of a horn blowing at the end of things and us rising up off the ground and going to be with God and living forever somewhere up there above the clouds. And that's a part of the story. That's part of something that Paul talked about and some of the other apostles talked about. But what I want you to understand is this going up to God, that's just sort of a temporary state, a temporary part of the story. Because what heaven really is it's God coming to us and God remaking this earth. You see, this earth isn't something that God, it's not something that God's going to just throw in the trash can. No, there's a hymn that we sing, "This is my Father's world. This is God's good earth." And so what the Scripture teaches is that the New Jerusalem will come down from above and it will light on this earth. And this earth will be completely redeemed and made new. And the old order of things will be reversed. In fact, you can find this idea going all the way back to Genesis. Remember Adam and Eve? Living in a perfect environment, then they sinned. And what happens? Do they go to God? No. They're hiding from God. They're covering up in the bushes. They're afraid. They're naked. They're ashamed. What does God do? God comes to them. And even after God disciplines them and says, "You can't live here in the garden anymore," He doesn't stop there, because God slays an animal and He covers their nakedness, giving them warmth and also granting them mercy. Christianity is not us going to God. Ultimately, it is God in love coming to us. That's also the Christmas story, isn't it? God comes to us through Jesus Christ. The Word becomes flesh and makes His dwelling among us. That's all. Also what we see in the book of Revelation. God comes down to us and He dwells with us forever and ever. So we don't have to be dismissive or take a humanistic approach at all. Between now and then, however, there is a decision that needs to be made. Because if I interpret the Revelator correctly, nobody who wants to enter into the new heaven will be kept out, but nobody who chooses to be left out will be forced in. I've never been one of those hellfire and brimstone preachers. That's just not the way I'm wired. But I've never been one of those pie-in-the-sky preachers either, who goes before his people every Sunday and says, "I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. Let's just smile and be happy, and it'll all work out in the end." Because if I did that, I would not be preaching the Bible any longer, would I? I would be conveying something that I just dreamed up inside of my own brain. No, Scripture is very clear. God doesn't expect a whole lot of us, but God does expect something of us. God says, "Those who are thirsty..." You have to be thirsty. "Those who are thirsty will drink. Those who are hungry will eat. Those who overcome will inherit the new heaven and the new earth." There was a traveler who was exploring the French Alps just after the Great War. And he came across this barren stretch of land. It was desolate. It had just been decimated by the war. It was an ugly, haunting place that you would just want to run away from. And as he was there and thinking, "Boy, I got to get through here as quickly as possible," he looked out of the corner of his eye and he saw an old man with a sack on his back and a pipe in his hand. And about every 2 or 3 feet, he would take that pipe and he would punch a hole in the ground. And then out of his sack, he would take an acorn and he would put that acorn in the ground. The traveler walks up to the man and he says, "What on earth are you doing?" And the man explains that he had lost his wife and he had lost his son in the war. And he says, "I thought at the end of my own life I should make myself useful and do something that might outlive me." And so he says, "I am planting a new garden." Well, the traveler is kind of amused by this, walks away. 25 years later, this same traveler, who's not so young anymore, comes across this same stretch of land, and when he looks at it, it's completely made over. It's a lush forest, 5 miles wide, 5 miles deep. There are animals playing. There are birds chirping. Wild flowers perfume the air. What once looked like a hell looks like heaven on earth. All because a man had hope. And that hope drove him to plant a seed in the ground. What acorns are you planting today? What seeds are you sowing in the world today? My dad was a very simple man, but he sowed some seeds. I remember it was a week and a half ago, I had gone to see him, and we had talked for a little while, and it was about time to leave. And in our family, there's never any eating, and there's never any leaving without prayer. The way it's always been. And so I said, "Dad, let me pray for you." And so I grabbed his hand, and before I could utter a word out of my mouth, my dad launches into a prayer for me. He says, "Oh God, this Sunday, give Andrew a fresh word. Touch him, God. Fill him with your Spirit. May he be a faithful minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen." And I knew that was it. And I left. He was always planting seeds like that. And he reminds me, and our scripture text reminds me, we can try to put it out of our mind. We can try to dismiss it. But God comes for us. God will come for all of us. The death rate is 100% still. None of us gets out of here alive. God comes to us. And for us who believe, to those that overcome, the end is a new beginning.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.